un samedi prochain pour une autre émission Québec Acadie en musique.
CKUT Radio.
Radio.
Southwest sound waves in the air.
CKUT
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
In the fight against COVID-19, we must all continue to respect public health guidelines and follow self-isolation instructions. Self-isolate if you have symptoms. Self-isolate after testing. Self-isolate if the test is positive. Self-isolate when you return from a trip. And self-isolate when you've been in contact with someone who's tested positive. Self-isolation is important. Please, take it seriously. Learn more at quebec.ca/self-isolating. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
We pledge resistance!
What's up? This is Saul Williams chilling here in Montreal, here on CKUT. Peace.
We pledge alliance with those who have undergone attack for voicing opposition to the war.
Good morning, everyone. I'm your host, Alexander Narynx, and this is CKUT 90.3 John Abbott on the Air. Today, we'll be accompanied by a special guest who was invited to do an interview. I'll be interviewing Vincent Narynx, a medical worker from Quebec who works at the Sacré-Cœur Hospital in downtown Montreal as a special counselor.
Hi, I'm Vincent Narynx, special counselor for teenagers at Montreal Sacred Heart Hospital.
So, we've heard that COVID-19 affected a lot of medical workers like you. How has it affected your job in particular?
In many, 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 many ways. First, with insecurity. We didn't know if we would stay open. We didn't know if we had any possibilities of getting COVID ourselves and contaminating our family. Then the direction decided to close our department so the teenagers wouldn't have any services. Then they did close our department. And after that, I was relocated in another department, follow up with the schizophrenics in the community.
We would also like to know, how has it affected your patients personally?
They were pretty lost because from one day to the next, they were sent home with no care, no health care, no mental cares with their anxiety and everything that was happening around themselves, around the world, and it created some kind of panic.
Could you please give us an example?
I have a patient who was treated for drug abuse, and from one day to the next, she had no treatment anymore. Her drug addiction gave her anxiety, and she didn't have any following or follow-up with that. She was sent home with the same problems. Another example is one of my patients that I had last spring. She had a lot of social anxiety. She quitted school because of that, came to the hospital, got treated, but her treatment was over quite fast because of COVID. She went home and had no trouble at all since she was not in school, so not facing social anxiety. Then start school and anxiety was back since she had to be confronted with other students. Now she's back with us like we're back to square one.
Couldn't these problems have been avoided?
Well, yes and no. Since this pandemic created a panic, the government didn't know what to do about it. So on my level, they were a little bit late to react, but they should avoid the problems we had with giving us some software like Zoom to continue our work with the kids, even if they were home. So we could have prevented the situation where kids are back to school in September and are not able to continue school. They're back to square one.
And how is it doing right now?
Well, right now, we're back, like I said earlier, to square one, but with some different measures. Everybody has to be 2 meters apart, 6 feet, and wear a mask and wash their hands between every activities. So how is it doing? How is it going? It's going pretty good, but we're starting right where we left last year, working on anxiety, drug addiction, and all those things that got worse with this pandemic and the fact that they had to stay home and study from home with no contact with other students, other kids. And of course, with that absence of contact, well, getting anxiety greater now that they're back into school, back with a lot of people, back with their drug addictions.
Thank you very much for speaking with us, Mr. Narix. Your job does not seem easy during these times, and your patients don't seem to have it easy either. Hopefully, some changes will be implemented for the future in case something like this could happen again. And I'd like to give a special thank you to everyone who tuned in to this interview on CKUT 90.3 John Abbott on the Air. I'm your host, Alexander Narynx, signing off.
Hello, CKUT 90.3 FM. This is Cody Gumley with John Abbott on the Air. I'm here to introduce somebody. I'm here to introduce Tim Rowcliffe. Tim, introduce yourself.
Hi, thanks for having me. My name is Tim Rowcliffe. I work a full-time job managing a warehouse for distribution of agricultural chemicals, and I'm also a on-call firefighter with the town of Pancor.
So, what are those jobs? Can you give us a little more detail for everybody at home that's listening?
Well, for me, I work in the agricultural industry. It's a 9-to-5 job, so to speak, 5 days a week. We do the distribution of agricultural chemicals to retailers. I've been doing it for close to 9 years now, and I enjoy it. It's great. And knowing that we help the farmers get grow the food. My other job, I'm a fireman for the town of Pancor. I've been doing that for over 15 years now. We're on call 24/7, rain, shine, holidays, you name it, we're there. We answer all sorts of calls. We practice every week, one night a week, and most of us are also first responders, where we have a minimum of 12 hours per month we have to do on shift.
That sounds like a lot of fun. So how has your experience been with COVID in the agricultural job? And also, what are some precautions you have to take when going to work or coming back from work, or just your work in general with anything that happens?
Well, for the agricultural, it's changed a bit, not too much, in the aspect that now we take the temperature of the employees when they come in the morning. There's more sanitization being done. The drivers, when they do their deliveries, now it's the customer who's responsible to offload their order, as they don't allow the drivers onto the loading docks. Same thing for us. When a customer comes to pick up, we load them, they wait outside, and then we tell them that's good to go. But we've sanitized everything and take extra precautions for social distancing and wearing masks.
So what about your fire department job and also as being a PR? What about those? Any new precautions, any different experiences, anything at all?
As for the fire department, we've done many changes to deal with COVID. The department's been split into 2 different teams. For response, and the teams alternate as priority on alternate weeks. So if there's a call that comes in, team one would respond, and team two comes to the station, but they stay standby. And if additional resources are needed, then they'll take a next the third or fourth truck out. In relation to COVID protecting ourselves, we all have to wear masks. We have a log we have to sign into the station, our hours in and out. We have to sanitize. We're allowed, permitted only two, maybe three firemen in the station at a time, aside from when there's a call. And for first responder for medical calls, we have additional precautions we have to take, depending if the patient is considered COVID positive or unknown. We have additional safety equipment we have to put on. But aside from that, there's additional things that have been done where our vehicles are disinfected weekly and depending on the calls immediately after.
So with all these new regulations for the mask and all the hand sanitizing every 2 seconds and how you said that you wake up so early and come back so late, and also with the fire department job where you're on call all the time, you're eating, you have to like clean up real quick, you know, whatever, like how demanding are these jobs, and has it been more or less demanding since COVID has started?
So the agriculture hasn't really changed much. I mean, aside from the extra steps of testing and sanitizing, the fire department has been more demanding in a way, as when you get to the station, you have to have a mask on before you get in. So you're wearing a mask, trying to get your gear on, and it's an extra step you have to do. And then if you're not on one of the teams responding, the camaraderie's changed a bit because everyone's staying apart.
As a final real quick question, what do you think is the best way for people to fix all of these problems and help with COVID, and what precautions do you think they should be taking?
I would say it's a good question. For people to stay safe during COVID and to try to not get it, so to speak, maintain your social distancing, wear a mask and wear it properly, sanitize, wash your hands, just be careful. Especially this time of year, we're in the second wave, Christmas is coming, and people want to get together. Well, unfortunately, this year is the year to stay home, stay with whoever you live with, and make arrangements with Zoom or some sort of video chat with friends and family for Christmas. All I can say is to do your part, stay safe.
Well, unfortunately, this show has to end. Thanks, Tim, for coming.
Well, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure. Happy holidays and stay safe.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. This is Cody Gumbly interviewing Tim Rowcliffe, somebody who works in the agricultural industry, a fireman, and a PR. This was John Abbott on the air, CKUT 90.3 FM.
Good morning, everyone. This is Liam Duncan from CKUT 90.3 FM, John Abbott on the air, here today with Ashley Cavers, who is a dairy farmer, and she's going to tell us what life on the farm is like. Ashley, how hard is it to be a dairy farmer?
Being a dairy farmer is actually a really hard job.
Could you explain why?
It's hard because it's a 24/7 job. You're pretty much always on call, and you have to take care of everything. It's not like you can work 9 to 5 and go home on Saturday and Sunday and not have to worry about anything. It's your responsibility all the time to care for your animals and for your equipment and for your farm in general. And it's not an easy life. I mean, you need to have a big heart for it, for this type of career to work for you.
Take us through your daily routine for chores.
So normally I do night chores, and what that consists of is I go to the barn about 4 p.m. or so, and I take a broom and I sweep down all the mangers from all the leftover food from the day, and I clean that and get rid of it. And then what I do is turn on the silo to fill up the silage cart to fill up silage for the cows, and then we feed that to the cows so they all get silage, all the cows and all the older heifers. And then I take a scraper and scrape down all behind the cows to make sure that they're all clean for when fresh bedding is put down. Then I usually go out into the coverall and feed all the smaller calves all their hay and grain and mineral. Then I go and mix milk for the baby calves, which is usually, it's this powder milk that we have to mix with water, and it becomes really healthy and nutritional milk for the calves. So I feed them that and then bed up their pack just a little bit, just to be a bit more comfortable for them at night. And then after, I go and feed the larger heifers in the other barn, feed them their hay also once they're done their corn silage. We also have this robot that goes around and feeds all the dairy milking cows their grain and supplements that they need in the evening. After that, we have to get all the milkers ready for the cleaning. So that means just putting them on the milk cart and getting all the pipes hooked up. Then we go around with a bale of hay and feed an entire bale of hay to all the milking cows in the barn so that they're eating their supper when we start milking, and then it's milking, and then typically we're done milking by about 7 p.m.
How old is your family's farm?
I'm not sure the exact date or how old it is, but I know that I'm the 8th generation to live on this farm, and it's only been cavers who've lived there, so I think that's pretty cool.
What kind of problems could occur on a dairy farm?
Lots of problems can occur on a dairy farm. I mean, from small things like a machine breaking, or from the weather not being good for you that day to do field work, to maybe an animal passing away from something. I mean, anything could happen. When you're a farmer, you're also a mechanic, a plumber, an electrician, so you do pretty much everything, and you have to take care of your animals. So anything could go wrong on a given day. It's rare that a day goes by that nothing happens, really.
Do you plan on taking over your family's farm?
I do not plan on taking over my family's farm. I do love it and I like being there, but I just don't think it's the right career for me. After all, it's the type of job that you have to go all in with, and I don't think I'm ready for that. It is something that is nice to do, but I'm not a big fan of putting my entire life into something like this. I mean, it is really, really hard, and you're pushing maybe 90 hours a week, and that's just not what I want to do. Also, if you're a farmer, it's really hard for you to go on vacations, and I'd kind of like to do that more as I get older. And you don't have any time off, and remember that there's nobody to replace you, so if you have to be home for chores by 4 p.m., you have to be home. You can't just say, oh, I'll come feed the cows at 6 o'clock that night instead. That's not how it works, especially with dairy farmers. You're on a strict schedule because cows, their milk, their udders get full after a certain amount of time, and they need to be milked out, so you need to be there to do that for them.
And there you have it, folks. This was Liam Duncan from CKUT 90.3 FM, John Abbott on the air, here with Ashley Cavers, telling us why it's hard to be a dairy farmer. Stay safe out there, folks.
You're ugly. No one cares about you. Stupid. Fat. Loser. No one likes you. You're useless. Get out of my life. 1 in 5 young Canadians are victims of cyberbullying. Cyberbullying is a real issue. It leads to mental health illnesses and even suicide. Act now. If you are a victim or a witness of cyberbullying, talk to someone or call 877-352-4497 or visit the website bullyingcanada.ca.
Did you know that more than half of Quebec's homeless population lives in Montreal? In 2018, there were over 3,000 homeless people in Montreal. But you can become part of the solution by donating to or volunteering at Chez Doris, a drop-in center for homeless women at 1430 Chaumidi, Montreal. The shelter is named after a homeless mother named Doris, who moved to Montreal from Halifax. She said that the thing she needed most was a place to go without prying eyes and too many questions, which has become a core part of the Chez Doris mission. This center provides homeless women with meals, a place to rest, social activities, and many other services during opening hours. If you are interested in volunteering or donating to improve the lives of homeless women from all over Montreal, then visit chezdoris.org.
Do you or someone you know smoke cigarettes? Well, put it out! Smoking is responsible for more than 45,000 deaths each year in Canada alone, and is second leading cause in heart attacks in middle-aged people. Have you ever tried drinking a milkshake through a straw? Sometimes the milkshake is too thick and it won't go all the way through the straw. So imagine if that were your arteries. Smoking can cause plaque to break up and clog your arteries, which could give you a heart attack. So unless you want to end up hearing this, you might want to put that cigarette out.
Welcome back to CKUT 90.3 FM, John Abbott on the air. My name is Leah Hicknell, and I'm joined here today by Steve Hicknell, who will be sharing his experience working in the pulp and paper industry. Steve works for Kruger, which means that the demand for paper packaging that has increased dramatically with the onset of COVID and online purchases has affected his team directly. So to begin, how long have you been working at Kruger?
I've been at Kruger for just over 2 years.
How has the paper industry been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic?
Oh, great question. The biggest issue, I think, has been changing the way that we work, safety of our employees, making sure employees keep the 6 foot of spacing, masks. And also what we've done is we've also separated our teams so that if there is an onset of COVID at the plant, other people are able to take over so that manufacturing continues.
Okay. How has the increase in the demand in packaging affected Kruger?
For sure, with everyone staying home and not being able to shop at shopping centers and so forth, many people have been buying products online. This has really increased the demand for boxes. I don't know if you notice on the street, but there's a delivery truck. Almost every person is ordering online, having stuff delivered, and that increases the packaging. There's also the fact that the restaurants have been closing, and there's a lot more food takeout. People are ordering food online or ordering food at restaurants, and it's being delivered in paper packaging, and that directly affects us.
Well, are there any benefits to working in such a big industry during this time?
For sure. Working for a company that is deemed an essential service, there are benefits. We know that we need to manufacture so that people can eat and people can still receive goods at home. So being large enough to be able to, still try to make money in these times is obviously difficult, but having a large organization that's very diversified, we have many different industries that we do work with, certainly helps in mitigating some of these sites where things aren't going as well as they should during COVID.
Okay. Is there anything you've learned from working in COVID that you could apply to your day-to-day life?
What a question. Anything I've learned through COVID? I think it's you're trying to stay mentally strong. We're all working from home now, so we could be in front of our computers 24/7. So I think in your day-to-day life and in your work life, you need to understand that you need to separate and do things on your own, and make sure that you keep personal time. Everybody's working really hard these days, and so I guess in my personal life, I'm trying to spend more time with my family and you know, try to understand how difficult it is on everybody. And then the work side is the same thing. We want to make sure that our employees are healthy, that they're mentally doing well, and you know, that their families are safe. That's utmost importance for us.
Before Kruger, were you working in any other pulp and paper companies?
I spent 18 years in the paper industry before joining Kruger. I was 6 years in the mining, oil, and gas field, and then came back to the pulp and paper industry. So I spent just over 20 years in the paper industry right now.
Wow, that's amazing. What concerns did you have going into working during the coronavirus before you knew what it entailed?
For sure, we, you know, the statistics or the information that we were getting at the beginning was quite sporadic. I think the biggest concerns was, you know, how can I avoid getting the coronavirus? How can I avoid my employees getting coronavirus or my work teammates? And also how to avoid getting it from them. So there was a lot of confusion as to, you know, what, how much space you needed to keep between people. And now that we've, you know, we've rearranged the offices. Well, today we're not, no one's going to the offices, but we've done all types of different things at the, at, around the paper mills and at the office to make sure that people are safe and they're, they keep their distances. But definitely it's been a challenge.
Okay, and finally, who are your inspirations when it comes to business, if you have any?
I mean, if in your career you always have a couple of mentors, and one in particular was a gentleman I worked with in my previous, with the previous paper company I worked for, and he was like a dad to me during the whole you know, during the whole time that I worked with him. He taught me how to you know, deal with customers and all types of different situations that we you know, you come in contact with. You know, he had a great family, and he was a jovial guy in the office even when things were really stressful, and his name was Alan, and Alan was a great inspiration to me.
That's great. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
That was Steve Hicknell teaching us a bit about his industry during these trying times. I'm Leah Hicknell, and that was CKUT 90.3 FM, John Abbott on the air.
Hi, I'm John Halpin, Director General of John Abbott College. To cheer you up, I've adapted a short song. You have won now, Mr. Grinch. You have stolen Christmas Day. Well, it won't happen again next year. We will find a way, Mr. Grinch. Yes, in 2021, we won't need to be 2 meters away. In spite of everything that's going on, have a good end of semester.
We are out of time, so I'd like to thank our listeners, our audience, for tuning in for the latest episode of John Abbott on the Air. This has been Patrick Adelstein, and this has been John Abbott on the Air on CKUT 90.3 FM. And we'll catch you in the next episode. Take care, everybody.
When your parents need your help, you're there. When your kids say something's wrong, you're there. When your friends have a rough day, you're there. Be there for yourself the way you're there for others, as it's normal for these uncertain times to bring out negative emotions or anxiety. If you're finding it difficult to carry out daily tasks, there are solutions. Visit quebec.ca/gettingbetter or call Info Sociale 811. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
CKUT Radio.
Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
La COVID-19 est à un niveau critique dans votre région ou une région à proximité. Les rencontres d'amis ou de famille sont interdites et les déplacements vers d'autres régions sont non recommandés. Des mesures plus restrictives et ciblées ont été mises en place pour freiner la propagation et éviter un reconfinement. Informez-vous sur québec.ca/coronavirus. Continuez de vous laver les mains, de garder une distance de 2 mètres et de porter un masque lorsque la distanciation physique n'est pas possible. On doit réagir maintenant. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
Pour lutter contre la COVID-19, on doit tous respecter les consignes d'isolement de la santé publique jusqu'au bout. Quand on a des symptômes, on doit s'isoler. Quand on a passé un test, on doit s'isoler. Quand le résultat est positif, on doit s'isoler. Quand on revient de voyage, on doit s'isoler. Et si on a été en contact avec un cas confirmé, on doit s'isoler. S'isoler, c'est sérieux. S'il vous plaît, faites-le. Information sur québec.ca/isolement. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
Samedi midi.